Well, thanks for coming this afternoon. My name's Julie Hansen, and I work at Cornell University. I've been there for quite a few years now. My main goal at plant breeding at Cornell University is to do yield testing of forages. And so that was my contribution to the talk that I'm going to give this afternoon, was the field yield trials. But I'd like to acknowledge the other authors that are listed on this title slide. Of course, the title is Breeding Birdsfoot Trefoil for Fusarium Wilt Resistance in New York. The first person that isolated this organism from trefoil in western New York was Bruce Tillipaw. He's an extension agent who did his master's degree at Cornell. The plant pathologist that did continuing work with this organism, Fusarium oxysporum, were Gary Bergstrom, Michael Wunsch, and David Kalb. And they are from the plant pathology department. And then the breeders were Jill Miller Garvin, who's now at the University of Minnesota, Jamie Crawford, Don Vians, and myself. Just a small introduction on trefoil. It's very well adapted to New York. It's a temperate legume, fixes nitrogen, used in hay and pastures throughout the Northeast. It is often cut in a three-cut system in New York when you use it for hay. And in a monoculture system that we often use in our yield trials, the yields of the first cut are comparable to alfalfa. However, after the first harvest, it does not regrow fast enough to really produce as much yield as alfalfa later on in the season. And because of that, it's often grown in mixtures with grasses, as you can see in the top pictures. And that's because it's not aggressive in regrowth. The weeds can take over the stand easily. So it's highly recommended to plant it with a grass in a mixed stand. Also, trefoil is well adapted to our soils in the Northeast, tend to be on the acid side and less than optimal drainage. So there it does better. Those types of soils it does better than alfalfa. Fusarium wilt is a pretty serious disease. On trefoil, it's found so far only in New York and Vermont. It's a vascular wilt disease. It moves, kills the plants quite rapidly in the seeding year, but it also can have a slow death impact where it'll kill them over several year period of time. And this is a slide of the top growth symptoms from some trefoil that was growing in western New York in an infested field. And you can see the characteristic stems that are dead. This organism that causes this disease is Fusarium oxysporum, Forma species loti. Here are some roots that were grown in the greenhouse. These are 5-month-old plants, and they were grown in individual pots and inoculated. You can see the internal root necrosis. And one of the diagnostic features that the plant pathologists use is that you can isolate the fusarium from both the roots and the stems. If it only is isolated from the roots, they more often call that crown rot, not the fusarium wilt disease. But if it's found in both the roots and the stems, then it is the fusarium wilt in most cases. So the plant pathologists were kind enough to develop a very easy to use and reliable greenhouse screening method for us. They started with a procedure that was published by Ziders and Hill in Crop Science in 1988. And the method is basically to grow the trefoil in the greenhouse for 12 weeks in these flats, slice the root mass so that the roots are all cut and exposed to uptake the fungus. Then the flats are soaked in a spore suspension, and these we used 45 minutes as the soaking time. Then the flats are reassembled, so the tops are put back on the bottoms. But before that is done, a vermiculite V8 fungus culture mix was spread over the top of the bottom half of the flat so that the plants were exposed to the fungus as much as possible. So several populations were screen through this greenhouse method. And so we went through three cycles of selection in several populations. You can see the results on the bottom here of one population. Here's the susceptible or cycle zero, cycle two, and cycle three. So it was an improvement in resistance using this method. Just to show you the data from the screening, this is an evaluation using this greenhouse method for the cycle zero, cycle three for two populations. And population one, which is an 81-82 synthetic, in cycle zero, the mean disease severity index was 3.9, and this is on a scale of 0 to 6. So 0 being no disease and 5 being dead. And so it started at 3.9, and after three cycles of selection, it had a disease score of 2. So it's a 48% gain from selection. And in population 2, which is a Canadian variety, it started out at more susceptible to the disease and had a 41% increase in resistance to fusarium. So we were very interested into taking these populations to the field to see what yield improvements were gained by selecting for resistance to fusarium wilt. So that was the next step. We went through seed increase and then planted these out in 2004. The plot size was 3.5 feet by 16 feet long, and we used 6 replications. And we actually planted 2 trials side by side. One that was not inoculated with the fusarium wilt, it was just planted like a normal yield trial. And the other one was inoculated with the fusarium wilt, and I'll show you that technique where we used 2 seeders. So the first plot, we just had 1 seeder, planted the seeds in the soil at 10 pounds the acre seeding rate. And then in the second trial, which was right next door to it, we took the vermiculite that had the fungus growing in it, dried it at a low temperature, and then actually ran it through our plot seeder. And so we had little furrows filled with vermiculite with the fungus in it. And so then after we had the vermiculite inoculum in the seed bed, we followed right behind with the seed on top of it. So that was the inoculated trial. And the reason we did not do a split plot was because that just the action of harvesting plants with the fusarium wilt organism in the stem could spread the fungus from plot to plot. So a split plot was really not applicable for this type of a study. We really had to do 2 separate plots, 1 inoculated and 1 not inoculated. Here's what the vermiculite looked like. It worked quite well. It just went right through the seeder, just like the seed. And we did plate out some of this vermiculite after we had planted it in the field, and it did grow the fungus in culture. The tricky part was making sure you didn't run out of inoculum before you got to the end of your trial. Just as an overview of what the plots look like, this is the trial that was not inoculated with the Fusarium oxysporum fungus. And of course you see the difference in maturity. That doesn't have anything to do really with the resistance. It's just population 1 was an early maturing variety and population 2 was a little bit later. So our goal in harvesting these was to harvest before any of the plants set seed. So we stayed pretty much on a 6-week cutting schedule throughout the season so we could avoid seed set, because trefoil seed will grow if it shatters and lands on the soil surface. So that's the uninoculated trial. Here's the inoculated one right next door and with the same entries, and it's 6 reps. We harvested these for 4 production years, and the seeding year and the first production year, there were no significant differences between the cycle 0 and the cycle 3 populations for both the inoculated and the uninoculated trial. We did start seeing differences in the second production year, and in this graph you'll see yield and dry 0% moisture yields, megagrams per hectare. The first set of bars is the no fusarium wilt trial, and the second set is the inoculated with the fusarium wilt. And the blue bars are cycle 0 and the green are cycle 3. And so you can see in both trials, for both the second and the third production year, we saw significantly higher yield with the cycle 3 populations compared to the cycle 0. You can see that the inoculated trials in general were lower yielding than the uninoculated trials. And this is for the combined total of 3 harvests for each year. In the fourth production year, we only took the first harvest. The trials were starting to get quite thin for plants, and we needed to rotate out of that field so we could plant it the next year. So we only took the first harvest, which is when you get most of your yield, though. So for the trial where there was no fusarium wilt added, there was no difference between the cycle 0 and the cycle 3 populations. This is the average of populations 1 and 2. But in the inoculated trial, we did see a difference between the cycle 0 and the cycle 3. So it was an improvement in yield through selecting for this disease in a greenhouse setting. After we took the yield off the first harvest, we did plant stand where we counted the number of plants in a grid. And you can see that there was many more plants in the trial. It was not inoculated with fusarium wilt. And then in the inoculated trial, the cycle 3 had many more plants than the cycle 0. Just to show the improvement that for cycle 1, there was a 24% yield gain from selecting for the resistance. And in population 2, there was a 38% gain. From this work, we were able to release a variety, and it's called Pardee, and named after Dr. Pardee, an extension agronomist at Cornell. And it's been on the market since 2000. It had limited seed quantities for many years, but now there's plenty of seed, and it's doing quite well, and the breeding program is continuing at sort of a slow pace. So just to acknowledge the funding from Cornell University Agricultural Experiment Station, and also from our multi-state project NE1010. So, thank you for your attention.
Very nice, Data. Thank you. How about pathogenic races of this type of oxysperm? Do you have evidence for it? It's asexual, yeah. And do you have differences in pathogenicity?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But the plant pathologist would probably have to give you the answer to that question. They did isolate several different isolates, and
sure.
They found it was all
morphological and so forth.
Yeah, all the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim Brubaker, I went to school with him.
So our last presenter is Gabriela Romano.
Now, how do I get up?
Okay, that's it.